Good evening. I'm Bryant Bivens, and I'm an alcoholic. I've got some notes here tonight. I did have a legal pad out there, a full legal pad, and I brought three guys from my group, and they said, you can't take that pad in there. I said, just take one sheet. I said, why can't I take the whole pad? They said, you don't know that much. So maybe they thought I'd been scribbling out a few lies for you guys tonight, but it's a great deal of pleasure for me to come here and talk about the tradition number three. You know, really shouldn't have to talk too much about it. It's about the simplest one I've ever read. It says the only requirement for membership is the desire to stop drinking. But here we are. We got people in it, and it gets complicated. And it gets complicated, and we complicate the simplest of things. We have historically, we do that. And we've been warned by one of the co-founders to keep it simple, but we just won't do it. You know, that word didn't get down to us. You know, we just sort of have to complicate it a little bit. And, you know, before I start speaking a little bit on the third tradition, I want to tell you something. These are my observations, and these are my opinions. And I think they're true. I believe them. You know, people refer to us as self-help groups. And, you know, I deny that. You know, I say that we are not a self-help group, because when they give me that book says we must get rid of self or it kills us. You know, I don't think we're a self-help group. I don't think we're... Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help others. And, you know, when I'm helping others, I'm out of self. And I don't think we're self-help groups. I think we've got a God that supervises this if we let him. And, you know, and then we've got experience that's been handed down to us over the years. Nothing will ensure my immunity against not drinking any more than working with other alcoholics. And so, you know, from a guy that came from nowhere with the help of people like you all over the world, I've been able to find sobriety. And I didn't find it by myself. I found it with God's help and with your help. So, you know, I don't think we're self-help groups. I really don't. I think that we are the greatest organization in the world. And so I've got an objection to that. Another thing I have an objection to, and probably it's going to piss everybody in the room off. But that's all right. I'm going to leave and you're going to stay here. Because the door... The door was locked, and the man with the key told me I could leave anytime I wanted to. I don't like open discussion meetings. I really don't. I think this is where a lot of the complications on this third tradition comes in. It's from open discussion meetings. Now, I've been to... one half of an open discussion meeting. And that lasted me for a long, long time. You know, I've been sober since December the 25th of 1960, and 30 minutes of an open discussion was enough. You know, I'd never been to one. And I was down in Chapel Hill. So I went to an open discussion meeting. You know, Chapel Hill is, you know, badly publicized. You know, that's the zoo. Ashboro is where they keep animals. The zoo's in Chapel Hill. And Durham, it's my hometown. But with everybody in a room, the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking, and half of them sitting there ain't never had a drink. You know, there was a woman down there. Well, the first comment that was made in that open discussion meeting was, it was all right with me. And the second one was all right. And then there was a lady there. She's occupying two chairs. She was big. I mean, a big woman. And she started talking about hiding in her garage and eating six packs of Twinkies. And she said she could identify with us. You know, maybe she should have eaten them last week. And that thing on TV about Code 57, you know. Maybe that would have cured her Twinkie habit. You know, I don't know. But I don't. If any of y'all know what the hell to do with the Twinkie habit, raise your hand. This is, you know, this is one reason. Yeah, I love closed discussion meetings. Yeah, I love open speaker meetings. And surely the people with another illness or something, they're certainly welcome to open speaker meetings. They're certainly welcome there. Maybe they can learn an awful lot there. But I'm opposed to it. I'm opposed to it because it gets us a little out of where we're supposed to be. And so I'm opposed to treatment centers. I run one. I'm opposed to the treatment centers that sends people to Alcoholics Anonymous that ain't got a drinking problem. They treat anything in the world as long as insurance will cover it. They treat eating habits, sex habits, you know, everything. You know, they treat that. And then when they get ready, when the insurance runs out, they say, go to AA. Those people can help you. Well, I don't know. I don't know whether we can or not. Sending patients to Alcoholics Anonymous that never had a drink. You know, how can we help them? You know, our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. So I don't know how we can do that. And then we've got something else that I don't like. And that's our do-gooders. We've got do-gooders in Alcoholics Anonymous that think that we can do everything for everybody. I used to hear people say, I wish everybody had this trouble. By God, if they live long enough, everybody's got it. Just come to some meetings, you know, open discussion. You have enough trouble at closed discussion meetings. Enough trouble at closed ones, but you know, you wouldn't know that you was in an AA meeting if they didn't read how it works and the traditions, and no need to read the traditions because they ain't going to sit by it. You open it up with a serenity prayer and close it with the Lord's Prayer, and in between you don't know where you've been. You know, Crawford calls it Cook's Night Out. I've been to two of those. The reason I went back with the second one is to find out if the first one was true, if I was just dreaming or if I napped off a little bit. But we've got do-gooders that try to be everything to everybody. And, you know, we've had some good movements, the Oxford movement and different ones that tried to be everything to everybody, and they ain't here no more. They're gone. But Bill Wilson, his advice to you and to me and to Alcoholics Anonymous is, Shoemaker, stick to thy last. Stick to what we know. Another thing that they don't like, and I'll be, this is it. Even closed discussion meetings where they don't have to bring a topic in to discuss. The chairman says, I haven't had time to prepare. Hell, he's been chairman for a month. I haven't had time to prepare anything. Do you have something that you'd like to discuss? And then the guy starts talking about his wedding ring. Is this the right kind? Or does anyone have a problem? You know, my understanding is that in Alcoholics Anonymous, we all have a common problem. And we have a common solution. That's what I'm told. And if we stick to the solution, if we discuss the solution, the problem, and they keep coming back long enough, we're going to cover that problem. There's no problem that I've ever had that has not been covered by the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. I've never left Alcoholics Anonymous because the problem wasn't solved. Look at the solution, and I'll guarantee you the problem will be solved. And that's our primary purpose, to carry the message. And the message is a solution. And we've got a lot of people that's carrying the mess instead of a message. The message is a solution to recovery from alcoholism. And that's why I'm here tonight. You know, if I sound a bit overprotective of Alcoholics Anonymous, I have a reason for that. I am overprotective of Alcoholics Anonymous. That's the reason I sound that way. Because you see, the most precious thing in my life today is my sobriety. And it came through the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. And you know, I came into this program of the hopeless, but one of the hopeless varieties. You know, I'd been every way. I'd been a psychiatrist. I've been medical. I've been religion. I've been the nut house. You know, I've been to all of them, and none of them had worked. Until I came to the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, and it saved my life. And it gave me dignity and pride that I'd lost. I didn't ever think that there would be a way for me to stay sober. And that's why it's precious to me. Because, you see, I've already experienced family members who wanted to know what happened to me. And I told them what happened to me, and it's just like what I'm telling you tonight. I was confronted with the fact that I had to be honest and truthful with myself if I expected to live long and happy, and that's what you told me. And that's what I've tried to be. And that's what I'm trying to be here with you tonight. And the thing that saved my life, and now we're going to get into the third tradition, believe it or not, was identification. And this one, I'm opposed to the other thing. I'm opposed to the other thing. With everybody. Because, you see, I identified with a bunch of drunks. I thought there was nobody in the world that ever thought like I did, that did the things that I did, that felt the shame and guilt that I did. I thought I was nuts. And I came into rooms like this one, and I heard you talking about your problem. And I heard you talking about the solution. And I was able to identify with you. I was able to identify with you. I said, maybe I'm not crazy. Maybe I'm not crazy. Maybe I'm one of these people. And I listened. And I heard more. And I heard more. And I heard more. And finally I said, yes, I'm one of these. I'm one of these people. And that identification kept me here because I'm one of you. I'm at home. This is where I belong. This is my organization. This is my life. And that's why I feel extremely obligated, as my sponsor told me that I was. He said, you have a responsibility. And I said, what is that? He said, you have to keep Alcoholics Anonymous the same as it was when you found it. It don't need changing. They've changed one word that I know of in the last 37 years, and Lou told you about that. And I'm not sure they didn't make a mistake, you know, when they took that out. But that's all right. I can live with that. I can live with that mistake. The trustees of Alcoholics Anonymous, several years ago, allowed the steps to go to other organizations, that people that had problems, the overeaters that I was talking about, they allowed them to have the 12 steps. The gamblers, they let them have the 12 steps. Emotions Anonymous, they let them have the 12 steps. Narcotics Anonymous, all the groups were allowed. We were gracious enough to allow them the use of the 12 steps. And I think it was a magnificent gesture on their part to spread this message so that other people could form organizations. And I don't believe they had in mind when they did this to let other people use it that we needed to take the people with the problems into Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, I hear this with... They don't go to Narcotics Anonymous because it's weak. They're just starting. Well, hell, Alcoholics Anonymous, we were weak when we started. When we were weak when we started. But, you know, there were two men that were strong. And they believed. They believed in this program. They believed in it. They believed in helping other drunks. And it escalated to millions of people that have saved their lives and has given them sobriety. And now it's gone over into other organizations. And I think it's up to us. I think it's up to us to allow these people. I think it's totally unfair to Alcoholics Anonymous to come in and try to take somebody with a problem different than alcohol and try to treat it. I think it's unfair to Alcoholics Anonymous, and I think it's more unfair to the people who have other problems. How are they going to identify? How are they going to identify if they don't have some people that have the same problem, that have the common problem and are looking for a common solution? How are they going to identify? Are we going to let them? Are we just going to let them go their way? Are we going to take them in here when we don't know what the hell to do with them? You know, I don't know what to do with some of these people that have problems other than alcohol. I really don't. And I really don't want to learn. It's beyond my expertise, and I've worked professionally 32 years in the field of alcoholism. They call it substance abuse now. That's another thing I don't like. I forgot it. I did not abuse a substance. I drank it and it abused me. But I think these people need an organization where they can identify and then they can get into the steps just like they did with me. I had to identify first. You know, I'm glad that the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. Because, you see, I've been to Alcoholics Anonymous twice. The first time I thought I was a little too good for you. And the second time I thought I was a little too sorry for you. Neither time did I meet the requirements according to me. But according to you, I fit right in place. And I'm grateful, forever grateful for taking me. We have a singleness of purpose. You know, that we read or are supposed to read at the meetings. And this singleness of purpose was written because of the third tradition. You know, we didn't have enough sense to just say, this is Alcoholics Anonymous, instead of anything's anonymous. You know, so they was having a lot of trouble. So they had to come out and write this singleness of purpose. Of what and we all knew it. Well, we all knew it. You know, I was down at the assembly one time, and I was speaking on the traditions, and one of these little do-gooders, little lady said, Mr. Bibby, she called me Mr. Bibby, which is all right, you know, didn't like it, but it's all right. She said, where does it say in the book that we can't help people with drug problems? I said, well, try the cover of the book. Mine says Alcoholics Anonymous. See, we didn't understand that. So, you know, we just had to let them write. The hell, they probably had to have five meetings to come out with that singleness. Before you get alcoholics and non-alcoholics together, ain't no telling how many meetings they had to have just to write that. And we just should have known it right from the get-go, but we didn't. We knew it, but we just didn't pay any attention to it. I was told a long time ago not to water down the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. I was told explicitly that. And I was told in the presence of five old-timers not to water it down. And my sponsor was the one that told me, and if I try to water it down, by God, he's going to come back. He's dead, but he'll come back. If you try to water this program down, because he was a believer in it. And so, if we don't have a message, If we don't have a message for the alcoholic, like I said, we'll just be carrying the mess instead of a message. But our primary purpose is to stay sober and to help those people recover from alcoholism. The same as you got. You know, if you got a mess instead of a message, you need to get a sponsor that's got a message that will give you not the mess, but the message. We have a common problem, and we have a common solution. Don't give me anything other than the solution. I don't want to know about it. You know, I don't want to know about it. And still, we as individuals, and I'm just as guilty sometimes by God as anybody else. In my mind, do I prejudge new members as a loser? We're good at that. If you want to make it sober, come and see me and Bill Crawford. And by God, we'll tell you who's going to make it and who won't. And if we say you're not going to make it, you stand a better than average chance. You stand a better than average chance of staying sober. But if it's a new member of Alcoholics Anonymous and they come in and they express that desire to stay sober, I don't think it's my job to judge whether they're going to be sober or not. I think it's my job to carry the message to them, the same as it was carried to anybody else. And, you know, there's some kind of alcoholics that, you know, you really don't want around. Damn troublemakers. Weirdos. Well, we don't have much to draw from. We don't have a lot of people to draw. You can't go down to the Coliseum and says, I'm going to take this one and this one and this one. It's my job to take them as they come, whether I want to or not. And I've seen a lot of them. I've seen a lot of them that we really didn't want that are still sober. So don't judge them. Don't determine which kind of alcoholics that need to be in Alcoholics Anonymous. So we don't need to worry about where they are phony or sincere. Time will tell. You know, sometimes they have a little slip of who's, you know, and we'll find out. We'll know sooner or later. It's not up to me to know right now whether you're phony or not. You know, I don't know that. I don't know that, but time will tell. Time will tell. And if you're phony, it's your judgment to change or to stay phony. I don't know that. Are we over-impressed by celebrities? Yeah, hell yeah, we are. Don't worry about it. We are, you know. We get a doctor in AA, Dr. Lou Boss over there, you know. And we bring him in and say, this is Dr. Lou Boss. He's, you know, he's going to attend our group here. And you get a regular whiner like Bill there. Bring him in and say, This is Bill. I think he's going to be coming around for a while. It's not fair to us to do that, and it's certainly not fair to anyone who has a title after their name. You know, I guess the reason they want to come here is to learn how to stay sober. And you know, if their entitlement or whatever they, what their qualifications are, if they were sufficient, certainly they would have done it on their own. But they're here. And so he's a Bob or Bill or whatever his name is. Make no big deal out of it. If he's a senator, he's a senator. You know, it's that it. But he's a drunk senator, you know. He ain't going to be a senator long if he stays sober. He ain't going to be a doctor long if he stays sober. And it's up to me and you. It's up to me and you to bring him a message. Regardless of who they are or what they are. If they show up in an AA meeting, just ask a lot of questions. We got the answers. If you don't believe it, talk to some of us. We will give you the answers. I'll guarantee you. It might not be right, but we'll. I ain't never had much trouble talking with an alcoholic. Had a lot of trouble listening to somebody. You know, right? Never had no trouble because they will talk back. They will talk back. We don't really need to question them about where they were. You know, I remember when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous. I remember that. Had a little bit of a memory loss. You know, I had no recall. I'd listen to speakers, and I said, he was great, and I'd get outside the room. I said, what did he say? Couldn't remember it. You know, my physical condition was not the greatest in the world. I was about 125 pounds lighter than I am now. Maybe I should go to overeaters. For a while, anyhow, you know. I wasn't dressed too nice because I didn't have many clothes. I had some clothes that they'd given me. Yeah, I know we'll forget that. It was a brown suit. Double-breasted. Lapels that wide. Tie wider than that. They didn't ask me where I got my clothes. They didn't ask me where I worked. They didn't ask me which country club I belong to. They didn't ask me, hell, they didn't even ask me my name. They asked me if I had an honest desire to stop drinking. And I had that desire to stop drinking. They didn't question me at all about that. That desire over the years has increased significantly. Today it's stronger than it was then, because then I had nothing to lose. Today I have an awful lot to lose. But those of you who've been around, and they knew I didn't have anything. They knew that I didn't have anything to lose. And they didn't question me about it. The only thing they questioned me about at all was my honest desire to stop drinking. And they explained it to me. It had to be a monumental desire. That desire had to come before anything else. And I said, I have that desire. I have that desire. They said, well, you keep it because it's valuable to you. And I didn't know how to be honest. And an old man told me how to be honest. He said, if it ain't so, don't say it. If it ain't yours, don't take it. And if it ain't right, don't do it. And I never have had to attend any seminars on honesty. Yeah, I just took these three little simple things and gone about it. And you know, I'm sure I was as honest as I could be at that particular time. I'm sure that I was. But today I know what those lines meant. I know what they meant. An honest desire to stop drinking. That was the only requirement. Nothing else. We paid the initiation fees hell before we ever get here. You know, some of it hits you pretty heavy. Others don't suffer quite as bad. But it don't make no difference if we've lost all or lost a part of it. Or didn't have anything to start with. If we got an honest desire to stop drinking, we qualify as a member of this fellowship called Alcoholics Anonymous. And you know, I beg of you tonight, I beg of you tonight to do yourself a favor. To do Alcoholics Anonymous a great favor. To do the future people that are coming in to Alcoholics Anonymous and do the future of Alcoholics Anonymous a great deed. Help the alcoholic when he comes through that door. Give him the same chance that you have been given. Arm yourself with other organizations for people who have other problems other than alcohol. Have telephone numbers for Overeaters Anonymous. Have telephone numbers for Emotions Anonymous. Have telephone numbers for Narcotics Anonymous or Gamblers Anonymous. Any of those groups, have that. Have it posted in our group. And when somebody comes in, give them a chance at their group. Give them a chance. Let them identify. Let them find a way to recover. We've got the greatest thing going in the world. And there's nobody that can screw it up except you and I. As long as we maintain the integrity of Alcoholics Anonymous, as long as we don't try to be everything to everybody, how does that help you when you're giving somebody advice that you don't know anything about? Is that helping you? Be honest. Nope. It helps when you say, I really don't know about that, but I'll try to help you find somebody who can help you. I think that if we loan these people our program, then we should have a directory to direct them to where they need to be. We don't need to be something that we're not. We're alcoholics. We're sober. Not because of our knowledge, not because of what we know. We're sober by God's grace. and His grace only. And we remain sober through the 12 steps of the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I hope and I pray that each of you will keep this in mind and keep Alcoholics Anonymous, Alcoholics Anonymous. Let that alcoholic that comes through that door have the same opportunity that you gave me. Thank you, Lou.
Thank you, Brian.
You might need it later.
There's other 19 pages coming.
Everybody got a basket on the table? Pass one around the wall.